Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now from Letterman Row, man who knows his college football, a man who knows his golf, he's Tim May. Tim, Jeff Phelps here, Menigan here. Baskin's on vacation today. He knew you were joining us, and he took the day off.
Sir!
He took it personal day. I got it.
You know how this works, man. He's Andy. He's out gallivanting. He's having a good old time. You know how this works.
Oh, yeah. I know he gallivants. I don't know if that's having a good time, but he definitely gallivants. That's a good way of putting it.
Tim, U.S. Open. I'm pumped. Menigan's pumped. I don't know what it is about a major, but I love watching. Whether it's the PGA, the Open, whatever it is, I don't care. These are something really, really special. And especially with what we've been through in the last year, man, I'm pumped about this tournament.
If they can just get rid of that damn marine layer, you know what I mean? I mean, they're going to be playing. They're going to have to turn on the lights tonight, I think, to finish the first round. But, yeah, here's the thing about U.S. Opens, and mainly the U.S. – maybe the U.S. Open more than any other tournament is – and I'm talking about even all the majors. Every shot counts, man. And I know, of course every shot counts. I mean, one flub up, three flub ups, and you can be out of it, you know, and – I know there have been a few dramatic comebacks, but for the most part, this is definitely a marathon where somebody kind of gets out there and sets a pace. Somebody may run them down, but you got to be within four or five shots of the lead, you know, after at least the second day, I think, to have a legitimate shot, especially in modern golf with all these great players playing. I'm going on and on and on and droning here, but the bottom line is that's why I like the U.S. Open. Maybe the most of any of the tournaments. I think of the Masters is like all the Major League Baseball teams playing at Wrigley Field. You know what I mean? But the U.S. Open is played in different tough environments, offering different challenges from one year to the next, and that's why I like it so much. I don't know if I've said enough about how much I like it, but there you go.
I think you like it.
We get the drift. So
thank you.
My biggest thing with the U.S. Open is you're right. It penalizes you when you make a mistake unless you're so strong that you can overcome the mistake that you made. And it brings us to Bryson DeChambeau. This course seems to be perfectly placed for a guy who looks like Popeye to crush the golf ball as hard as he possibly can and then chip and putt for birdie. You seeing it that way too with Bryson?
Yeah, but you're leaving out the major ingredient there. He's got to crush it. Strategically and accurately, and that's the big challenge for him. I mean, you know, the same way with Brooks Koepka. I think Koepka, you put him in the kind of the same ilk as far as I'm concerned. But if DeChambeau is crushing it straight down the fairway, look out. You know, I mean, and you know, we've gone on and on about. I've done that on this show about lengthening courses and stuff, and I've always told you guys, I mean, the more you lengthen the course, the more it hurts a guy like Jordan Spieth than it does Bryson DeChambeau, for example. You know, just because a guy can hit it long. I mean, they didn't move all the fences back in the major leagues when Babe Ruth got cranking, you know. And so you don't do that. You just make it maybe more difficult, you know, with smaller greens or narrower fairways. But, heck, Jordan Spieth has as much trouble hitting fairways sometimes as anybody. But you catch my drift there. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's cool to just watch a guy do his thing if he's really on. And I have no problem with the fact that Bryson DeChambeau cranks it, you know. And there's a lot of things about him that I find extremely intriguing, including the same length on his clubs and stuff. That's just crazy.
And that used to be the thing with him, Tim, that everybody talked about. And then he went out and beefed up, and now he's hitting the ball like crazy. This guy, you know, we watched Trevor Bauer here pitch for the Indians and all the different things that he did. I call DeChambeau the Trevor Bauer of golf because, man, he does things the other guys don't do and succeeds.
Yeah.
Good for him. And Dan and I were talking earlier. I can't wait to see he and Koepka in a group together. But, Tim, rather than force it, I'm glad the USGA didn't. I want to see it happen during a competition when there's something on the line between these guys. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, if you group them together, that would be faking it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That'd be faking
exactly.
A confrontation. You want the confrontation to be earned, you know? And, yeah, I mean, I can't see them playing a whole round sniping at each other because they both want to win the U.S. Open. But it would be very interesting to watch these two guys, both of whom, but not just one, both of whom have tremendous egos. And but watching them perhaps get into a match shot for shot kind of situation, even though they probably wouldn't admit it afterward. But one or the other would feel challenged, and it would be great theater, I think, to watch. Maybe great theater to have both of them mic'd up.
That'd be awesome. That'd
oh,
be
my
awesome.
God, put it on a pay-per-view?
Get that guy with a squirrel on a stick, you know, the boom mic. Get him involved, you know, and get some action. I mean, let's hear some action and reaction.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, man, that's $20 right there. I'd pay $20 on the spot to watch that, man.
Absolutely. Oh, hell yeah.
All right, Tim May joining us.
I'd pay $22. I mean, I paid $3.99 to rent The Incredibles 2 the other day for my grandson on DirecTV, even though I've rented it about four other times. By now, I should own the rights to Incredibles 2, not just the DVD. But I digress.
It's understandable. Disney, man, the mouse knows how to make money. There's no denying that fact.
No, that's exactly correct.
Tim May joining us on the Thompson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, I got one more golf question for you, and then we'll switch to college football. Phil Mickelson wins the PGA Championship. Can he do it again? Can 51-year-old Phil Mickelson bring home the U.S. Open that is missing from his trophy case?
On the course he grew up on.
You know, he made a great point after he won the PGA. Matter of fact, I texted my friend Gene Wojciechowski, who asked him this question, I think after the second or third round, but about the way he had gotten his focus together, because he found himself like a lot of us older guys do. You know, I mean, I'm 67. He's, what, 50? 51, I think, maybe now. But the bottom line is you find yourself playing golf and thinking about everything but playing golf, you know. I kept my act together yesterday at Virtues and had a pretty good day. But the bottom line is there's so many things on your mind. You know, you wake up at 6 in the morning, you can't go back to sleep. And he's an older guy now with a lot of things on his mind. But when he... You know, from shot to shot, the key in golf is is each shot, forget about what you just did, forget about making it up with this shot, get yourself back in play. And that's what he did great at Kiawa Island and or Kiawa, whatever it's called. Just don't call it, I was going to make some funny line there that wasn't going to be funny, so I'll move on. But the bottom line is just, you know, when he focuses, yeah, he can be in contention because he can still hit the ball a mile. And matter of fact, he probably hits the ball farther now than he ever did, kind of like yours truly. But the key is, like I just talked about with DeChambeau and even with Jordan Spieth, is hit it on the short grass. Hit it on the short grass, you got a really good shot. And, you know, he did a pretty good job of that at Kiawa and until maybe that the last nine holes, but he was able to pull it out. But, yeah, I think he's got a shot. Would I rate him the favorite? Probably not. But if he hits the ball and stays in his game, within his game, yeah, he's got a hell of a shot.
Tim May joining us from Letterman Row. 12-game college football playoff, Tim. Yay, yeah. Nay, should it be 16? Should it be 8? What do you think?
You know, my buddy Austin Ward from LettermanRow.com, he and I discussed it on my podcast this week, ad nauseum. Yeah, ad infinitum. I was going to throw another ad in there, but it wouldn't be funny as those
nice.
Two. But the bottom line is – It should be four, actually, in my opinion. I think they had it right with four, because you can make an argument for maybe one or two other teams it should be number four. But when you go to eight, you can make an argument for seven or eight teams it should be number eight. When you go to 12, you can make an argument for 30 teams probably to think they should be number 12. I'm not kidding you. And so I think the move should have been to four. I mean, it should have been four to eight or eight to 16. But this 12 thing where you give major college football teams, the four best teams, by the way, a bye and make these others hully-gully and play for the right to play one of them, at least they're going to get that right possibly in their home stadium. There's all kinds of things I don't like about the 12. I do like the idea of more teams being involved, only because this is forcing the hand of at least, you're guaranteed at least one of the non-Power Five, or as they call themselves, the Autonomy Five now. How snooty is that?
That is, I need a dictionary just to speak of them.
You look up snooty in the dictionary, it's got equals Autonomy Five next to it. But the bottom line is, at least now, at least one team, like a UC, I'm talking about Cincinnati, not Cleveland. There isn't a University of Cleveland, is there?
There's a Cleveland State. There's not a University of Cleveland.
Yeah. But anyway, one of those teams, Coastal Carolina, one of those teams is going to get in by winning its league and being ranked among the top six conference champions. You know, and heck, last year, the Pac-12 wouldn't even have made it, because obviously they started playing late and stuff. But they weren't even – none of their teams were even in the top 12. But I do like the fact that one of those teams is now going to make it. But you got to figure with the Autonomy 5 running the show, they'll probably be saying, well, you know, one's enough, you know. We're going to spread it out to all the rest of these deserving, in quotes, SEC teams, because they put no number, no boundary, no limit on how many teams from one conference can also make the show.
That's one of the questions that I had with it is, okay, so I love the fact that the first round is going to be on campus. I love the idea that we're going to possibly run into, I think I saw one of the simulations for one of the previous years would have been Florida would have had to go up to Camp Randall for the first round. And, like, for that alone, I'm in for this whole thing. I love the idea that they're bringing it at these home stadiums in the first round. The question I had is, how come then the top four don't host the second round, and instead we got to go back to this blasted bowl system and the backslapping that takes place with all of that stuff to bring these guys in?
Well, the word I keep using is placating, and I don't even know if I'm using it correctly. But they are protecting, placating the major bowls that have been, part of the history and great tradition of college football. They're trying to keep, as I described it on my podcast, it's like they're building this new bridge, but they're trying to keep the old bridge as part of the superstructure, you know, and I'm not sure how well that's going to work out. You know, you're going to have some possibly crumbling concrete under brand new concrete or glistening new steel, but that's what they're trying to do. But like we talked about on my podcast, I don't know, I've said podcast now six times. I'm sorry.
That's good. I mean, that's just good self-promotion.
Yeah, it's like Don King taught me that. My hair's starting to look like his, too, but I digress. Bottom line is, wouldn't you much rather see Ohio State, Alabama, some of these places host a first-round game? I mean, those are the cathedrals of college football. And I'm not sure Camp Randall's a cathedral. It's at least a corner church for sure. But the bottom line is, but that would mess up the bowls. You know, those bowls have got to mean something. The funniest thing in this whole thing, and I don't mean necessarily ha-ha funny, is that if you lose a first-round game, you can still play in a bowl. But, you know, we've already seen mass desertions now of players opting not to play in bowl games, which in their minds are meaningless as they – prepare or ponder the NFL draft. And I think that's just going to hasten some of that early exodus. So, but I'm not sure I even answered your question. I'm not sure I remember your question. But the bottom line is, you would like to see. But I want to throw this at you. Just because Wisconsin would be hosting, say, Georgia in the first round, doesn't mean the weather would be any better or worse in Wisconsin than it is in Georgia, you know, the third week in December. And this idea that Southern teams can't you know, come north and play, man, I was standing 30 yards, about 30 yards from Brian Sipe when he threw the mistake on the lake against the Raiders back in 80. What was that, 80 or 81? 80, 1980. And, you know, you can summon 3 hours out of yourself to play in the frigid cold. And that was, at that point, was the coldest game in NFL history.
Absolutely. But the part
of it. Wait a minute. Do you like how I dredged that up from the bottom of the Cuyahoga River?
Dude, you.
That was really good.
You have successfully actually made an entire city go, oh, crap.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Thanks, Tim.
No, it's more the fact,
dude,
that now
the,
you have
let
given.
Let me say this. The Browns were going to play in the Super Bowl that year. I mean, this idea they'd never played in the Super Bowl, it was going to be. That would have been a moot point.
Tim, you
point.
Keep
go
going,
ahead.
Man. We won't be able to have you back on here. Unless that's your goal. I mean, good on you. That's a smart move on your part.
I've always liked the Browns. My middle son, especially, he's a Cleveland Maven, and he loves the Browns. I think he still likes the Cavs, and he likes the Indians. Those are his three teams, man. So don't think I've been talking bad about him. I'm just talking factual.
You raised him well, Tim.
Thank you.
Hey, go watch the U.S. Open. I hear you enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, I do. I definitely do that. And get to watch Formula One qualifying early in the day and then move on over to the U.S. Open. And there's an IndyCar race at Wisconsin this week. I went up and covered that doubleheader, the Detroit Grand Prix last weekend. Some great racing. I mean, I miss that Cleveland Burke Lakefront Airport race, man. That was fun to cover, fun to watch, fun to stay in Cleveland.
And that first turn was terrible. Tim, thanks,
hey,
buddy.
Hey, do you think I'm back on good terms with the Chamber of Commerce now after that?
I don't think there's any question.
Yes, of course you are.
Thank you.
Talk soon,
Tim
Brenda.
May from Letterman Row. He does a podcast. You can hear it on Letterman Row. And, man, he loves the U.S. Open. Thanks, Tim.
Oh, always enjoy it, fellas. You know that until Gallivant and Andy Baskin. I missed him.
It's a boondoggle, it, man. It's a boondoggle.
Tim joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.